Verse 14, for we know not what it shall be on the morrow. And my title is, For What Is Your Life? I'd like each one of us just to ponder that for a few moments this morning. What is your life? It's a question. James is raising a question, what is your life? What is your life? And my mind was still going on, still thinking about this past week. We laid to rest a man that to you children you might think is old, but he's 63 years old. We laid him to rest. Suddenly he passed away. Suddenly he was gone. And I was just thinking about that, going through all that. I guess the heartbeat of my message is that this is a reminder that we do not know what a day may bring and how quickly life can be snatched away. And this morning, We take life for granted. You know, we a lot of us are younger. And what comes to your mind when you think of something like that? When you hear of someone that gets snatched away so quick? For me, it makes me stop in my tracks. You know, that could have been me. That could have been me. It makes us stop and think and evaluate our lives. It really does. How am I doing? How am I living this morning? It's a question I want you to think about. The question is, would I be ready if God would all of a sudden pull the life plug from my life this morning? Would I be ready? I want you to think about that. Am I ready this morning? Are you ready this morning? What is your life this morning? How are you living your life? James is saying, what is your life? How are you living your life? What is your drive in life? What gets you motivated in the morning? What gets you out of bed? What gets you roaring off to work? What makes you do what you do? What is your life? What is it? Like I said, a lot of us are on the younger side of life. We're full of life. You might be a young person here this morning. You have life in front of you. Maybe a 20-year-old and say, wow, I got plenty of time to live life. Or it might be in the mid-40s like I am. Somehow you think, well, yeah, I can feel I'm age is creeping. Yeah, you feel pretty young. I know I feel pretty young yet. And yet, we think of, we have years in front of us, but do we really? We don't know. We don't know. Do we really have a promise of living till I'm 80, 90 years old? Do we have that promise? None of us know how long we're going to live. We're not promised a long life. We're not even actually promised tomorrow. I don't know. What I'll face tomorrow. I don't know this morning. We're not even promised tomorrow. Actually, we're not even promised our next breath. We're not. And this morning, it's very clear that our life is in God's hands. It is very clear this morning that life is in God's hands. And just think about that this morning, that as you live your life, as you're thinking about your life, God has your life in his hands. He gives life. And there was mention of a new baby that was born, and oh, what's so special? These are so special moments when a new baby is born. Life. They cry. It's life. God created life. And that is, it's in his hands. It's in his hands. And this morning, our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. We might pick up that point later. So how am I living my life? Am I ready to die? Am I ready to die? If this would be my last day, how would I live it or be living it? How would I be living it? This be my last day. If God would pull the plug on my life this morning and death, lifeless, how would I be ready to meet God? But we say, I am still young. I got a lot of time yet. Tomorrow's another day. And many times, God does allow us for another chance. A lot of times he does. But we do not have the promise of tomorrow. And our dear brother that was just died suddenly the other week is a reminder to us all that life is short and time is fleeting. We do not have a promise for tomorrow, but today is the day. If you hear his voice, like the Hebrew writer says, harden not your heart. This morning, if you're here, and you know you're not right with God, today is a day of opportunity. Tomorrow might be too late. Today we're living in the day of grace. But tomorrow might be over. We don't know. We don't know. Today, if you hear his voice, so this morning, what is your life? How are you living? Is it about living a life for my Lord Jesus? The one song we sang, can't think of the words right now, but are you living? Yeah, slipped my mind. True, full, and free, are you living? That I think one of the sisters picked that. I love that song. Is that how you're living your life this morning? This morning it's about living a life for my Lord Jesus and having his smile of approval in my life. And I don't what that all involves. That involves that he is the number one. He's the forefront of my life. And all is well. And I'm making right choices. And I'm walking the walk. And I'm living a life for him. And the testimony. Like Brother Meyer mentioned, that old lady he met there in the subway. Because she met Jesus. That's what Jesus does for us this morning. Am I living that type of life this morning? Am I? How is it between me and God? Am I busy serving him, living a life for him this morning, and experiencing true joy and happiness and have a genuine love for him this morning? Is that your testimony this morning? And if God would call me or he would call you, I'm ready. I'm ready. Or am I busy living a life for myself? And it's all about myself. It's my thing, my work, my goals, my business. And it's just about big me, and it's about my desires and my passions and what I want to do. And it's the old self-will, and the list just goes on. Is that how you're living your life? And the choices you're making in life? Is it about the big me, what I want to do? And no one's going to tell me a thing or two. Is that how you're living your life? And God is nowhere in the picture or involved. Or he's in the background or the distance. Is that how you view your view of God is this morning in your life? It's kind of like I had to think of the other summer we had those Canadian fires and just that hazy, smoky. But you could see the sun. You know, it blocked the full light of the sun. And is that how, I had to think of that, is that how my relationship is with God? I wouldn't say out of my life, and yet he's just not that forefront. And I'm just not living like I should be. That brilliant light from God. And yet it's just this hazy, you know, back burner style. You know, he's on low. I'll need him. I'll go to him if I need him, but I really don't need God. You know, we get independent. We get independent that way. We don't. God is kind of in the background, and we do not care about relationships, others, because it's all about me. When we're so selfish, and when it's about me, and we never crucified that old man, or crucified myself. You know, really, do I need brotherhood? Do I need the brother or the sister by my side? Do I need them? James brings out, not to speak evil about someone or judge someone. How many times do we do that? Verse 11, speak not evil of one another, brethren. And James is not the only one. The Bible's full of this. How many times do we speak evil about someone? Because we kind of enjoy it, or it's just to push someone down or belittle them. How much time that God gave me, do I use to run others down or say something nasty about someone? How much time do I spend using this time that God gave me to poke at someone else, to put someone down, and to push myself up? Does God really care about relationships? Well, he does. James says he does. Speak evil of evil no one, brother. He's not talking about out here in the world. He's talking about brotherhood this morning. He's talking about brothers and sisters. He's talking about how many times do I spend doing that? Verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou? Thou judgest another. And this morning, we spend a lot of time judging each other, but that's actually in God's hands. God is the judge. He's the one that, according to this verse, he gave life, and he has a right to take it. He has a right to take it out. So does God really care about my relationships? What is your life? Do you think you are a better person than your brother or your sister or your spouse? God does really care about relationships. It's easy to get entangled in our relationships, but here we are. God cares so much about them. And these things God will not overlook. Now, moving on to the second part of my message, for what is your life? Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today and tomorrow ye will go into such a city, continue there a year to buy and sell and get gain. And verse 14, yet, whereas you know a little bit what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life? So many times, well, we make plans all the time. And that is part of life. We might, beginning of a day, figure out what we all want to do that day. We make plans, what we're going to do next week. We make schedules. We want things to work out, and that's fine. A lot of times they do. But this morning, James is saying, what is your life? Who has created you? Who gave you a mind to think, to make choices, to make plans? Who gave you the gift of life today? You ever think about that? Didn't think about that. Probably didn't think too much about that this morning. That you got up this morning and it's a Sunday morning. You got dressed for church. You came here to church. You can breathe. You can move about. You got health and strength. And you can enjoy the beauty of the day. What is your life? Your life is entirely in God's hands. He gave it this morning. He gave it. And he can take it away just as quick as he gave it. Life is in your hands. Our days are numbered. What is your life? I think about this a lot, caring for my father, which is in bed, lives on and on. I think about his life, how it's pretty well, he can breathe, he can eat a little and sleep. What is his life? And then I think of Brother Terry's life that was snatched away so suddenly without a warning. What is life? And you can sit here and wonder and question God, and God, do you know what you're doing? And yet this morning we can rest in the fact that life is in God's hands. God created you this morning. He gave you to see this day. Is it June 6th today, 2026? God gave you this day. God gave you life to enjoy this day. And it's in his hands. And it's in his hands. And he decides to pull the plug on your life this morning. He has the ability to do that. And he knows all about that. Our days are numbered. He knows how long we are going to live. And when we will die. Each one of us. Each one of us. Young or old, God knows. God doesn't make mistakes. He gives life, he takes it away. So what is your life? It is totally in God's hands. For all of us this morning, it's just a step away from death. Is it actually that? Are we that close to death? I don't know. God promised, gave us life. He gave us he's the one that gives us our next breath. He's the one that extends life. He's the one that created life. And he has the ability to pull it. He has the ability to pull it. So what is your life? James says, it's a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Is that how frail life is? Was James actually that negative about life? James says it's a vapor. Is that how short life is this morning? Is life actually that short? And we all know what a vapor is. James has talked about you sisters. You know, maybe have a teapot on the stove, and I think of that little steam that puffs out of the stove, out of the tea kettle. You see it a little bit, and then it's gone. It's gone. We have at home we have an outdoor wood stove, and on a cold morning, when the air was a high pressure and the air, and it's still out and it's cold, you got that fire burning, and out of the chimney, the smoke comes roaring out of the pipe, and it'll go straight up in the air. But at first, when it comes out of the pipe, you can see it. It's strong. It just barreling. It's pouring out. But as it goes up higher and higher, you start seeing less of the smoke. And you see less of it, and less of it until it's gone. Out of sight. Out of sight. James is saying, and is giving this example of our lives. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. That's our life this morning. That's our life. We're here. And then we're gone. And I think I grew older, and I used to hear older men, women, time just flies. It just seems like we're here already, or our children are married, or we're grandpa and grandma, and where did life go? And yet, the older I get, I realize that seasons come and go, years are rolling right along. Time is moving on, brothers and sisters. This little vapor of time, this little bit vapor of life is here, and then but life is in God's hands. Psalm 90. Moses wrote this psalm. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And I've been reading through the book of Exodus. And wow, if there's a man like Moses that's seen it all with him. Just Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, God, thou turnest man to destruction, that and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight, or but as yesterday. When it is past, and as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as a flood with a flood. They are asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. And in the morning, Moses is also using an illustration here. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. We are consumed by the anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale it is told. Our days, the days of our years, are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet in their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. We'll just stop reading there. Moses compares our lives to grass, which grows up. And this time of year, grass is lush. It's green. It's thick. And it's lush. And it's growing. In the morning, it looks beautiful. It grows. In the evening, we cut it. And it withers away that quick. When grass gets cut off from its roots, life stops growing and it withers away. For all our days, Moses says, are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that has been told. Days of our years are 80, whether by strength they be 80 years. Moses has given us a picture also how short life is and how frail we are. We're here for a little and then we're gone. We're here for a time and then we're gone. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is your life? Going back to James chapter 4, we do not know what tomorrow may bring. The death of a loved one, sudden death, takes us off guard. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We make plans. We make and by right, it's okay. We make plans. But sometimes our plans, God has a different plan. And sometimes God has different ways. God has different plans. But verse 14, ye do not know the least thing about what might happen tomorrow. We try to figure life out. We try to manage life. But what is your life? You know, sometimes we get to the point we like to be managers. And we try to figure life out. We try to make schedules, and we make plans, and we want to do this, and we want to do that. And James says, stop. What is your life? What is your life? But you are really, but what you really are, just a vapor of smoke. That's soon gone. What is your life? So how should we be living our lives? What does James suggest here? As we live life, sit around, wait to die? No, he doesn't say that. But I do believe that we must be ready to go. And one of the things that James suggests here, in verse 15, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, or do this or that. This morning, Bible believers, Christian believers, this morning, we need to have God involved in our plans. But we also need to have God involved in our lives. If the Lord will, I'm planning to do this. If the Lord wills, it helps if we keep the Lord involved in our plans. Or if we're trying to make a decision, sometimes we just say, I just need to talk to God about this. I need to pray about this. And when plans change, it helps us to realize that God had a different plan. And it helps us to accept it, the different plan that God has made. And it's hard to do that. And it's hard to do hit roadblocks in the road, or hit a detour route, or have to change our plans. And sometimes we don't understand why. It might be just the littlest thing, or it might be the biggest thing of losing a loved one. And we wonder why, God. We ask God, why? Why? Why this? Why? And sometimes on this side of eternity, we do not understand why. But God knows. His ways are best. His ways are so much higher than man's ways this morning. And so even though it's hard for us to grasp the total working of God, as Christians, we rest in that and say, your way is best. God, you are good. It's hard for us to understand, but your ways are best. Your ways are so much higher than my ways. And our lives are totally in God's hands this morning. And we can rest in that. Are you at rest in that this morning? I don't believe we need to live in fear that I might die the next moment or tomorrow. But that we can come to the place of rest. That if God has a plan for my life, if he jerks life away from me, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. But for the unbeliever this morning, it strikes fear in their heart. They don't know how to live, handle life. They'll turn to something to handle life this morning. And this morning, as Christians believe, we don't do that. We go to God's word. We get on our knees. We talk to him about it. We can't talk to him. So if the Lord wills, we do this or that. What else does James suggest? Going over it quickly, chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. James is saying, be patient this morning, because the Lord is coming. Are you ready? This morning we can be ready to die. But this morning we do not know when our Lord's going to come. And James says, be patient. The Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. Behold, the Lord is coming. Be patient to the coming of the Lord, because it's going to happen at any moment. And James uses the illustration of the husbandman that is preparing, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and long patience of it until he receives the early and the latter rain. And I had to think of us as farmers. We spent the last few weeks planting millions and millions of seeds, because we are anticipating a harvest. We plant those seeds, we fertilize it, we do the best we can, and we stay back and say, Lord, send us rain. He sends us rain, the early rain and the latter rain, because we are waiting for a harvest. I like to think about that. As we are looking, believers are looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus. We live in readiness, like it could happen this moment. We have our lives in order. We are preparing for the great harvest, when our Lord is going to come back and gather his believers home with him. Be also patient. Establish your hearts. And that word, establish your hearts, that phrase stood out to me. It means to strengthen and confirm. Establish your heart, to strengthen and confirm them to the final sincerity. That was my amplified said. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is very near. Times like this, reminders like this, establish your hearts, don't it? It makes us stop and think how God is working, God is moving, and especially a death of a loved one that left so quickly really stops and makes us think that how short life is. We can get so sidetracked here on this life. We act like we're going to stay here forever some days. And we plan, we build, we work, we sweat. We make money, we live the dream.
We don't realize that one of these moments, we're letting it all behind. And yet we put all our energy, and we need to do that. We need to provide. But this morning we cannot have our focus on the things of this earth. And we're not going to take a dime of it with us.
Establish your hearts. We are to be busy. We are to be working. But thinking that I'm ready to go. And be ready to go. Ready to go. Things of this life don't seem as important anymore as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. And I hope we're all ready when one of these moments he's going to come. Whether if he's going to call us by death or by his second coming, we want to be ready. We have no promise when we're going to die or when he's going to return. So that is why urges us to causes us to live in readiness and in waiting. Say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray.